You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flater. A little bit later, we'll be talking about math, madness, cholesterol levels in your heart. But first, move over Pluto. There's a new baby in the planetary family. It's a planet or a planetoid, depending on whom you ask. Unofficially, it's named Sedna. A team of scientists has discovered the new object orbiting the sun in the very distant reaches of our solar system. And the scientists say it is the furthest known object in the solar system and that it could be part of the never-before-seen Oort cloud. Joining me now to talk about it is my guest, Mike Brown, an astronomer at Caltech in Pasadena. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
You know, have you believed the amount of attention this discovery has made in the last week?
Oh, you sort of forget that this is something that people will get very excited about. You work day to day, and you finally announce your results, and it's just been quite gratifying.
Now, tell us how you discovered this. Was this by accident? Was it serendipity?
No, absolutely not. We've been doing a systematic survey of the sky for the past 2.5 years from the Samuel Ocean Telescope here at Palomar Observatory in Southern California. And the way we find objects in the solar system is, conceptually at least, very simple. We take 3 pictures of the sky over the course of 3 hours, and we look for things that move.
Mm-hmm. And so you have to was this then a comparison of just one day's viewing?
It was about 3 hours apart, and we saw this very slowly moving object moving in our images. And the further away an object is, the more slowly it moves. So as soon as we saw that object just barely moving, we knew that it was going to be the most distant object that had ever been seen.
And it's even smaller than Pluto. It's, what, 3/4 the size?
Yeah, we think it's about 3/4 the size of Pluto, and it may be just a little bit smaller. We haven't gotten the final confirmation of the size yet, but it's definitely no bigger than 3/4 Pluto.
And it's got an unusual red color to it.
It's almost as red as Mars, and that's something that we thought was expected at first, and we thought we understood it, but as we study it more and more, we realize that there are many things about this that just don't make sense to us right now.
Any hypothesis?
You know, I'm actually usually pretty good at just making something up when I don't have all the information. On this time, I actually don't even have any good story to make up and tell you.
Well, we'll see on the Jon Stewart show when you make it up. And it's also very far out there. Where do you think it came from?
We actually think it formed much closer in the solar system, maybe around Uranus, maybe around Neptune. And we think that one of those large planets flung it out. But then it also had to have interacted with a star that was passing by the sun, probably early in the history of the solar system. And the combination of being flung out and then having a star go by put it in its very unusual orbit.
So what about the speculation during the week that this might have come from the Oort cloud, the hypothetical Oort cloud? Is that no longer operative here?
What we think is not that it came from the Oort cloud, but that it actually is currently a member of the Oort cloud. But if you ask astronomers where the Oort cloud is, they would all say that it's still 100 times further away than Sedna is. And what we think this is showing us is that the Oort cloud actually extends much, much more closer to the sun than we would have ever guessed before.
So the Oort cloud is, what, halfway to the nearest star?
Right. So that's the outer edge of it. And now I think we've found the inner edge of it much closer than we thought.
What about the Kuiper belt? Why could it not come from this rocky belt of that's right outside the solar system?
So there's a belt of bodies that we've been finding for the past 10 years now that's just beyond Neptune, icy, rocky bodies, and we now know of about 850 objects there. And they have the Kuiper belt has a very sharp edge to it, mm-hmm. and that edge is just beyond the furthest distance that Pluto ever goes. Sedna, the closest that it ever comes to the sun, is still well beyond this region of the Kuiper belt. It's the only object we've ever found that's beyond the Kuiper belt, beyond the planets. So it definitely looks like it's in a class all by itself for now.
1-800-989-8255. We're talking with Mike Brown, Caltech, where they discovered this object that you've named Sedna, but that's not its official name, is it?
No, its official name is the definitely less romantic 2003 VB12.
Yes, much less romantic. And the International Astronomy Union names these things. Are they going to go ahead with your name, or are they going to keep pick a name of their own?
We certainly hope that they'll go with our name. They have the final authority. It's the International Astronomical Union Committee on Small Body Nomenclature.
They should change their own name.
They have the final say, and yeah. We certainly hope that they stick with Sedna. We think it's a good and appropriate name, but we'll have to wait and see.
It's the Inuit name for ice god?
For the goddess of the sea.
The goddess of the sea. So you said that you think this is a unique object, or it occupies a unique place in space out there?
As of now, it is certainly unique amongst the objects we know. But we actually predict, once we found it, we are now predicting that there will be many, many more objects out there, because any of the hypotheses we have for how it got there will put many, many more objects out there, too. So I predict that within the next 5 or 10 years, there'll be tens, if not hundreds, of objects known at that distance. And I also suspect that there will be some as big as Sedna, and perhaps even bigger than Sedna.
Perhaps bigger than Pluto?
I would be willing to bet that will happen.
Hmm. Now we're going to get back into the old planet or planetoid argument. So the International Union has called this a planet. You've called it a planetoid, like a smaller than a planet, bigger than an asteroid?
Actually, the International Astronomical Union's their definition of planet simply is that there are 9 of them, and they're the 9 that you know, and that's their entire definition. So they actually have not called Sedna a planet. To them, it's a minor planet, and I actually agree with that.
Now, what is the definition of a planet?
Well, the problem is there is none. It's one of those words that we all thought we knew what it meant until we started finding things that don't quite fit with our definition. And in some sense, it doesn't matter very much. It's the same question that you sometimes hear is what's the definition of a continent, and should we call Australia a continent or an island? And in the end, it's still Australia. It doesn't matter. But we have our own definition, because we decided it's actually we should have a definition. So in our definition, Sedna's not a planet, but Pluto's not a planet either.
And what's your definition?
Our definition is that to be a planet, you should be special. And by special, I mean you should be significantly larger, significantly more massive than everything else in your vicinity in the solar system. And that definition works really well for things like the Earth. There are asteroids nearby the Earth, but the Earth is much bigger than any of those asteroids. Works well for things like Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune. When you get to Pluto, you realize that Pluto is sitting right in the middle of the Kuiper Belt, and Pluto is only a little bit larger than the largest known Kuiper Belt object. So it makes much more sense to call Pluto simply the largest Kuiper Belt object, in the same way that we call Ceres the largest asteroid. We don't call it a planet. And then there are only 8 planets, and Sedna, although it's the largest object we know of out there right now, since we suspect we'll find more of them, we don't want to tell you it's a planet today and then have to have the same conversation 10 years from now when we find more.
Do you think if Pluto were discovered today instead of a 1930, they would not call it a planet?
I think that is unquestionably correct.
And even the International Astronomical Union would agree with that.
I think so. It's hard to imagine that if you found it today that you would call it a planet, because we know of so many other objects out there, and we know of so many that are almost as big. It would be very exciting. It's so much bigger than some of the small objects out there. There are interesting things happening on Pluto. I still think it's a fascinating place that I certainly hope that we get the opportunity to send spacecraft there and learn more about it. I think as the largest member of the Kuiper Belt, to me it's actually even more interesting than if it's just this small, quirky planet.
So how hard is it to find it? I mean, are more astronomers going to be looking for these kinds of objects now? Observing 3 hours of the change in orbit?
It only took 3 hours to find it, but of course we had to know where to look in the sky, and we don't know where to look in the sky, so we have to look at the whole sky. So that's what's been taking us a while now. We've been doing this for 2.5 years. We're probably going to continue this survey on for another 2.5 or 3 years, at which point we'll have covered most of the sky that's visible from here in Southern California. And I definitely suspect that now that the cat's out of the bag, that a lot of other astronomers are going to start scrambling, trying to look for these sorts of things too.
Is it big enough that even amateur astronomers can look for something like this?
Actually, I've seen a few pictures that amateur astronomers have taken this past week. It's on the very faint end of what amateur astronomers can do, but I know that people with 20-inch telescopes have been able to see it, and maybe a little bit smaller. So not most amateurs don't have telescopes that big, but a few do.
I'm thinking of the Levies of this world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's see if we get a question or two. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to Samson in Waukesha, Milwaukee. Hi.
Yes. My question is, your guest was saying that this planetoid was sort of formed between Uranus and then flung out and flung back in by a star. How do we know that? I mean, we've seen this for a few days or a few weeks in your observations. How can you come up with that hypothesis?
Well, that's a really good question. We have a hypothesis based on looking at the whole orbit. We actually have now seen it we discovered it 4 months ago, and once we've been following it for a couple of months, we realized we could go back to some old data and see if we couldn't find it in old data. So we actually now have 3 years' worth of data on it. But, of course, that doesn't tell you what happened 4.5 billion years ago. So what we have done is tried to create a hypothesis of how it possibly could be there. But the nice thing about this hypothesis is that we can test it and find out if it's really true. If our hypothesis is true, when people find more and more of these objects, like I said, they'll have a certain characteristic. They'll basically be spread all around in space in random directions, and that'll show that they all went through the same process by a star. If they're all in special orientations or in special places, it means something else has been going on. So we don't know for a fact that that's what's happening now, but we should be able to answer that question sometime soon.
Terrific. Thanks for calling, Samson. Abby in Portland. Hi, Abby.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to know what kind of ice there was in the Kuiper Belt. You said there was ice there. I'm assuming it's not water. But is it?
Well, actually, there's definitely water ice there. That's one of the main constituents of everything in the outer solar system. But we know of a couple of other ices, too. We know that there is nitrogen ice on Pluto. We've seen methane ices. We've seen ammonia. We actually don't know what the ices are out on Sedna. It's far enough away that there might be other ices out there. And we've been trying very hard to study the composition from some of the biggest telescopes in the world, like the Gemini Observatory and the Keck Observatory out in Hawaii. And for now, we don't actually know what ices are really on Sedna itself.
And the fact that this is so red, would it have something to do with being broken off of a planet like Mars, you say, something, and then thrown out in its early life?
It's extremely unlikely that it was broken off of something larger. In the solar system, the way things form is they usually build up from smaller objects. So it's the redness, even though it's similar in color to Mars, I don't think that it's related in any way to either being broken off or having actually any relationship to Mars.
Is there some boundary in your own definition of a planet where even though something you think might belong here doesn't fit your special definition of what a planet should be?
Oh, that's a good question. The problem is whatever definition you have of a planet, everyone will always be able to ask you questions of special cases and what ifs and I don't know if the next thing we find is significantly bigger. Maybe even we would be willing to call that one a planet.
So it's the old I don't know what it is, but I'll know it when I see it definition.
Or I know it's not it when I see it.
We'll call it the Mr. Rogers definition because it's special. Well, good luck to you, and keep observing. And you're going to be looking at other regions, or you said you're going to continue on this.
We're going to keep going. We've been doing this systematically, moving across the sky, and we have several more years of sky to cover. So we're going to keep going.
Well, Mike Brown, thanks for joining us. Mike Brown is an astronomer at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena who discovered the Sedna object. We're going to take the planetoid. We're going to take a short break and come back, switch gears. And when we come back, we're going to talk about March Madness. So if you're into March Madness and you know who you are, you know. Stay with us. We'll have a different way of looking at it. We'll be right back.